Welcome to the Sci-Fi Salvage and Restoration Company. My name is Mark, but everyone calls me the Starry Keeper.
Oh, hi.
Hi, and let me guess, you're not sure why you're here?
No, I am part of the protest outside, but I...
Needed a break.
Yeah. Do you sell coffee?
No, but I do give coffee away to guests. Not much more than straight coffee, with a bit of cream and sugar to offer.
I've never tried it that way before.
Never? Well, today will be filled with new experiences.
What if I don't like it?
Well, you never need to accept a cup from me again.
What do you do here?
Oh, I share dreams, ideas, possibilities.
Really?
Really.
How exactly do you do that?
Through stories.
Like a children's library?
No, like a theater of the mind. Audio drama?
Like an audiobook?
Do you have a few minutes?
I suppose. Why?
We'll get to your question in a moment, Sonia, but let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You have the right to protest, correct?
Yes.
And if you didn't want to protest, you could stay home.
Sure.
So no one makes you protest?
No.
Well, I think I have all I need to suggest a story.
So you're going to make me listen to a story?
Oh, goodness, no. I am simply going to suggest a story. You're always free to leave.
Well, okay. You can suggest.
In 1961, author Larry M. Harris wrote a short story called Lost in Translation. That is my suggestion.
Hey, look, I don't have the money to buy coffee, let alone a story.
No worries, my dear. The coffee and the audio drama are absolutely free, and it's always my hope that you leave with more than you came in with.
So, what do I do?
Find a chair that makes you most comfortable. I have a story already. It's one we've carefully restored for just such an occasion. You ready?
How did you get the story ready?
Computer tablet synced to Bluetooth on the main computer.
Pretty high tech.
For what appears to be an antique shop?
Well, I probably would have been nicer about it.
And it does provide the right atmosphere, and it's what we could afford. Enjoy.
At ease, Corporal Corvin. And welcome home.
Thanks, Sergeant Major Phillips. Good to be home, sir.
Take a seat.
Thank you, sir.
I've read your report, but have some questions. Skip the details of your trip there, Corporal. Just start at the point of arrival.
The people were called Tren. They were very human-like, except for their light green skin. Of course, you already know that.
Were they as efficient as our intelligence department thought?
I've never encountered such efficiency, sir. They took me as a prisoner the moment I arrived.
It couldn't have been avoided, I suppose. Did you learn anything useful?
I could bore you with the details of the prison cells, but you would be more interested in what I saw on the way to the Tren prison.
Atomic weapons?
Yes, sir, and the Tren were even more efficient than we thought. They were fascinated with my spaceship.
So they haven't achieved space travel yet?
No, but I think they're close, sir.
And if they do achieve space travel, there won't be much we can do to stop them from taking over any planet they encounter, including ours.
There's more you should know, sir.
Speak freely, Corvin.
They're not far from having every military capability we have.
But they've shown no interest in joining the Comity of Planets?
I don't think they would join, sir. They're a very independent-minded culture. Every decision formed by logic alone. They have no interest in other influences.
Yet they showed interest in you.
They did, sir. Although I was placed in isolation for 3 days before anyone would talk to me, I think they were observing me.
Well, I have to say I was surprised at how quickly you were apprehended.
It is believed I was the first to visit Tren. They were curious, as you might expect. I was offered all the curiosity of a new lab monkey when I arrived.
We'd hoped you would arrive undetected, secure some intelligence, and then return home.
The training I received suggested I move to Plan B.
You bear a resemblance to Tren, but you are not Tren. What are you called?
How about starting a conversation with something like, how's the weather?
There is no need to discuss weather patterns. You can see what weather exists through your window. What are you called?
I am known as Corvin.
You are not Tretan?
You got that right.
Speak plainly, please.
You are correct when you say I am not Tretan.
Didiak will want to speak with you.
I thought you were the leader.
You are incorrect. I am Amihap. I am here to ensure you would be unsuccessful if you attempted to leave.
Ah, so you're a guard.
I am unfamiliar with this word, guard. What is the meaning?
One who makes sure I do not leave.
Then yes, I am guard.
Do you view me as an enemy?
Enemy?
Let's see, how can I explain this? One who is opposed to another.
Are you opposed to Tretan?
I want to learn more about Tretan.
Didiak will decide if Corvin is enemy.
We all have to answer to someone.
It is not easy to understand you, Corvin. Your speech is peculiar.
Perhaps we will come to understand each other better.
Perhaps. If you require nourishment, Corvin, you will find essential nutrition packets deposited 5 times daily within this pod.
Yes, I've tried one. It doesn't have much flavor.
Flavor, Corvin?
You know, sweet, salty, savory.
I do not know these terms, Corvin. Nutrition packets are not meant to stimulate the senses. They are meant to sustain life.
Yes, I guess they do that, Amihap.
Perhaps we will speak again, Corvin.
Sure, drop by any time. It doesn't look like I'm going anywhere.
That is a logical statement, Corvin.
That's what I thought.
So did you speak with the guard after that first meeting?
He came by my cell 2 or 3 times a day.
Was he interrogating you?
Not really. Each visit he played the part of a curious child who wants to learn more about whatever interests him, never being very excited about it.
So when did you finally meet Didi-Ik?
Her name was actually Didiak, sir.
Go on.
The guard took me from my cell at the end of the 3rd day to meet her.
Did they use harsh interrogation techniques?
No, sir. It actually felt like being invited to speak at a debate club or a philosophy class.
Explain, Corporal.
She asked about life on Earth, and particularly our form of government.
You didn't pass along any secrets?
Not that I am aware of, sir.
Why is her skin a shade other than green?
Perhaps for the same reason that your skin is not a hue other than green.
I do not understand.
Those who live on my planet come in various colors and shades.
You are not all the same color?
We are not. In fact, our hair color and eye color can be different as well.
You mean you are not orderly? Your people must exist in chaos.
That can happen, but not always.
So you have rules?
We do. Is this why you have come to me?
The ruler wishes to gain information from you.
Could he not see me himself?
I am to take you to him. Does this satisfy your curiosity, Corvin?
It does, Didiak.
You will follow me. It is his command.
I will obey that command.
You are most wise, Corvin.
So, you were using deception.
It was a means to an end, sir.
How diplomatic of you.
I thought to myself, what if I could introduce confusion to logic?
Wouldn't they see right through that?
You might think so, sir. But there are things that cannot be explained through logic alone.
I'm afraid I'm not following, Corporal.
An example. Love is not logical. Science will say it's chemicals that drive the feeling associated with love. Some suggest love is a choice. Even faith cannot be explained by logic alone. And what is it exactly that inspires hope?
So, if you could conflict rational thinking with an idea that seems illogical...
You expose chinks in the armor of your enemy.
How did that work for you, Corvin?
I simply decided to truthfully answer their questions without elaboration.
Welcome, Corvin. We have much to discuss.
Feel free to ask me any question. Or should I call you?
What do you mean by call me?
Do you have a name?
I have a title.
May I know your title?
My title is Ruler. I am the one who rules. It is illogical to add another name, thus causing confusion and anxiety. What are you called?
I'm called Corvin.
What race are you?
I am a human.
Your gender?
I am male.
Does your physical appearance match that of the greatest percentage of humans?
It does. There are some males who are taller than I am, and some smaller.
Surely there are limits on the variables.
This is usually defined by the distance between the head and shoulders. Some can be that much taller, and some can be that much shorter.
The variables among the Terran are less defined.
How do you establish rank, ruler?
Rank?
How did you become ruler? Who will succeed you?
Succeed?
Are you always ruler? Or were there others?
You will answer my questions.
I will.
With precision.
My job requires it.
I believe you are lying to me, Corvin.
I am committed to absolute truth, ruler.
You landed your ship on this planet.
I did.
You did not crash.
I did not.
Clumsy lie, Corvin.
Have you not seen my ship?
I have, but how can the truth help you?
What can I do to prove I'm telling the truth?
We have a machine that will tell us when lies are spoken. It is adjusted to your physiology. You must know we are a scientific race and hold logic as most important for all decisions.
Please, attach the machine if it will make you more comfortable.
Comfortable? Please explain the meaning.
Having few unpleasant feelings.
Comfortable? Yes, I believe your cooperation will make me comfortable.
This machine, what was it?
Large, flat, metal, wheels, dials, lights, tubes, wires. It was not significantly different from machines we might use.
Nothing unusual about it?
It was larger than most machines we use. It was floated into the room by subordinates.
So was there a rank among those who served the ruler?
More like a caste system, sir. Each Tra'en is born to fill a role, and this was the only role they are allowed to fill.
Interesting. So they have no choice?
No, sir.
How exactly did they think to make your answers truthful?
They administered a truth serum.
Was it disabling?
Not in the least. If it had an effect, I was unaware of it. Perhaps it was designed for the Tra'en and was not useful in humans.
Could you tell if the Tra'en would be harmful to humanity should they seek to employ a space program?
I believe they would be very dangerous. Their system requires domination and submission.
Continue, Corporal Corvin.
We will test the machine. You must not resist.
I will not.
In what room are you?
In the room of the ruler.
Are you standing or sitting?
I am sitting.
Are you Tra'en?
I am not.
You will tell an untruth now. Are you standing or sitting?
I am standing.
The machine is working well. Now for more challenging questions. Why did you come to this planet?
My job required it.
Did you land intentionally?
I did.
Did your job end when you landed your ship?
No.
What more does your job require?
Continued existence.
This is the answer of survival. Do not try to trick us. Do not waste time with obvious answers.
I have told the truth.
It is not a truth we believe.
I have answered your questions truthfully, ruler. Are you saying there is more than one truth?
Your question confuses me, Corvin.
If truth is not truth, then the ruler cannot truly rule.
You seek to confuse the ruler. I choose not to be confused.
Does the ruler not have advisors?
Do you mean experts in the matter of logic?
Yes.
I do, and I shall call them. Corvin, be assured, you cannot trick us.
You actually suggested the ruler bring in more experts?
I did. And it worked to my advantage.
What do you mean, Corvin?
Well, sir, the experts were trying to catch me lying with each question I answered. Each answer found them arguing with each other about the philosophy of truth and logic.
So they were confusing each other.
They were.
You cannot confuse us.
Good.
Good?
Naturally.
How can you say this plan is good when this very plan leads to your own failure?
I am interested only in truth. If I am truthful, then my mission is a success.
Your words cannot truthfully reflect your mission, Corvin. You are conflicted.
I am not conflicted.
If you are not conflicted, it can only mean that we are.
You have spoken...
Silence, Corvin. Do you have a plan?
Yes.
What is your plan?
To answer your questions truthfully and logically.
This is not logical, yet our machine tells me that you are telling the truth.
I am.
Then Corvin is a traitor to his own people.
If that is true, then he is an ally to the Tre'en. Have you come to aid us? It appears Corvin has entered a state of rest.
No, his appendages move. Ruler, you may continue to question.
What is the name of your planet?
It is sometimes called Earth.
It has other names?
It has no name.
So you did lie to the Tre'en?
No, sir. People gave the Earth a name. The Earth did not bear a name of its own. We also named the Sun and the Moon.
While the Tre'en may have another name for them entirely.
Exactly.
How did this help you conflict the ruler's mind?
It tested his logic.
And still you call your planet Earth?
I do, as a matter of convenience.
Where is your planet located?
I am not certain with exactitude.
Could you find it again?
I could.
Will you tell us about your planet?
I will, as far as I am able.
We are interested in weapons and any plans they may have to send others like you to Tre'en. But first we must know the manner of decision-making on Earth. If your planet joined with others in government, or does it exist alone?
Both.
This is illogical.
There can only be one effective way to govern.
Corvin, this method seems to us inefficient and liable to error, yet it may be a possible system. Is it the system you mean?
It is.
Who then governs your planet?
I cannot give you the answer.
Any question of fact has an answer.
A paradox is not involved here. A government exists, and some being is the governor. Perhaps several beings share this task. Perhaps machines do the work. But where there is a government, there must be a governor. Is this agreed?
It is completely obvious and true.
The planet from which you come is part of a system of planets which are governed, you have said.
I have said, and it is true.
Then there is a governor for this system.
There is.
Explain this governor to us.
The explanation cannot be given to you.
Is this deficiency in you?
Are you in some way unable to describe this government?
It can be described.
Is it possible you will suffer unpleasant consequences if you describe it to us?
I will not.
It is agreed that you are attempting once more to confuse us.
On the contrary, I am attempting to not confuse you.
Then I ask for an answer.
I must request that I be allowed to ask a question.
Ask it. We shall answer it if we see fit to do so.
How are you governed?
Our government is the only logical form of government.
The ruler orders all, and his subjects obey. In this way, uniformity is gained, and this uniformity aids in the speed of possible action and in the weight of action.
All Tre'en act instantly in the same manner. The ruler is adopted by the previous ruler. In this way, we are assured common wisdom and steady judgment in each transition. You have heard our government defined. Now you will define yours for us.
I will try, but you won't understand.
We shall understand.
Who governs you?
None.
But you are governed?
Yes.
Then there is a governor.
Everyone is a governor.
Then there is no government. There is no single decision-making source.
No, there are many decisions binding on all.
Who makes them binding? Who forces you to accept these decisions? Some of them must be unfavorable to some beings.
Many of them are unfavorable, but we are not forced to accept them.
Do you mean to say you act against your own interests?
Not knowingly,
Is the truth machine still working? It is. If this is the truth, then the truth is illogical.
I told you, you cannot understand it.
It is a defect in your explanation.
My explanation is exact.
Let us try something else. Everyone is the governor. Do you share a single mind?
We are all individuals, like yourselves.
But with no single ruler to form policy or make decisions?
We have no need of one.
How can this be?
We call our form of government democracy. It means the rule of the people. There is no need for another ruler.
The beings on your planet rule each other.
This is impossible, for no single being can have the force to compel acceptance of his commands. Without force, there can be no effective rule.
That is our form of government.
You are lying. I believe the machine is with defect.
Take him away.
So, did you see the ruler again?
I did not. Some of his experts came to try to understand my words, but all left confused.
How did you escape?
The guard, the first to end to speak to me, released me for a short walk.
His mistake.
I hope he doesn't get into trouble. I liked him.
Don't you think it's possible they will try to find us now that they know the planet you came from?
I don't think so, sir. Even the most logical of thinking beings has a subconscious as well as a conscious mind. And one of the ways of dealing with an insoluble problem is to make the problem disappear. I think it will take very little time for the Tra'en to seek out logic to fight their next conflicted thought. The Tra'en are compelled to solve problems.
But how does this prevent the Tra'en from achieving spaceflight and attacking Earth?
They will have to try to find logic in the idea of self-governing first. After all, they can't afford to spend time on their space program when they need all available minds to help them understand the people they would face should they achieve spaceflight.
And if everyone is a governor...
Then we must be a formidable foe.
You gave them food for thought, soldier?
I did, sir. Nice, indigestible food that's going to stick with them until they finally manage to digest it. But they can't digest it and stay where they are. You've got to be neck deep in democracy to really understand the idea.
They will have questions to answer.
Yes, like, what keeps humans obeying laws we ourselves make? What keeps us obeying laws that make things inconvenient for us?
Corporal, I have come to believe that you could not have defeated the Tra'en any other way. They can't translate the language of democracy.
It was something they never understood.
Welcome home, Corporal. You have served your country well.
So, how was the coffee?
Well, it didn't taste like the candy bar coffee I'm used to, but it reminded me a lot of my grandpa. He always had a pot brewing, and it smelled amazing.
I think we would get along fine, he and I.
I should bring him down sometime.
Always welcome, Sonia. Always welcome.
That story was interesting.
Really? In what way?
The idea of self-government. Is that something new?
Not exactly. You must remember the story was written in 1961.
But it's science fiction, right?
Oh, yes, it is. But the concept is not fiction. It is the governmental system we were given in the United States.
It is? I'm confused.
Well, let me see if I can help. Self-government seeks to give the people broad freedoms to make more of their own decisions than to have the government tell them what they must do.
But we're protesting to try to get the government to do something. Are we wrong?
About the time this story was written, we had a president who said, "Ask not what this country can do for you. Ask what you can do for the country."
Wait, I think I've heard that before.
John F. Kennedy said it. Now, those who created our government went so far as to say, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed."
Was that from another speech?
No, it was actually from something called the Declaration of Independence.
Really? Wait, that last part...
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means that those who founded the country wanted future generations to know that those in government only had power because the people gave it to them. The founders seemed to believe that the people had more authority than the government. It's certainly the picture that Corbin painted for the people of Tren.
I always thought the government told us what to do.
Yes, those in government do introduce bills, some become laws, and we're asked to follow them. But those in government are always subject to the approval of the people. That's why some will stay in office in the next election and some will not.
I'm not sure I fully understand.
But like the Tren, you have plenty to think about.
I do. Hey, do you think I could get a cup of coffee to go?
A simple, straightforward cup of Joe is growing on you?
What?
Let me rephrase that. You like my coffee.
It'll do. Thanks for everything.
Oh, my pleasure. It appears the protest is over.
So it does. Can I come back again?
Absolutely. And bring a guest. Perhaps your grandfather.
You've been listening to Sci-Fi Salvage and Restoration Company, Episode 2, Brain in a Box. We'd like to thank our cast. Rebecca Thomas as Sonia. Joe Stofko as Storykeeper. Dale McCubbins as Sergeant Major Phillips. Russell Gold as Corporal Corvin. Tom Sparrows, Guard. Elise Kroyak, Didiak. Randy Strew, The Ruler. Glenn Haskell as Expert 1. Paul Bryan as Expert 2. Scott Johnson as Narrator. Brain in a Box was adopted from Larry M. Harris's short story, Lost in Transition, by Glenn Haskell, who also served as producer. Post-production by Sonny Steelgrave. Executive producer and webmaster, Captain John Tattersack. Art by Anthony Yuinko. This series will focus on short stories written during the golden age of science fiction. Each story will be lovingly recreated to resemble the more campy perspective of early science fiction broadcasts. Characters in this story were not meant to bear a resemblance to anyone living or dead. This production is for enjoyment purposes only. I'm your narrator, Scott Johnson. This is an original production by Misfits Audio, copyright 2017, all rights reserved.